Today on Locked On A's, it is Festivus, ladies and gentlemen. So we are going to be going over our picks for feats of strength and listing our grievances for our teams. I'm joined by Bryce Patterick of Locked On Rangers and Millard Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks. We have a lot of griping to do and also some things to be excited about. So that's what we got coming up for you guys today. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On A's, your daily Oakland A's podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's time for Locked On A's. Stepping to the mic, it's your host, Jason Burke.
And a happy Festivus to you all. This is your three-way crossover special Festivus episode of Locked On Rangers, Locked On A's, Locked On Diamondbacks. We are here on this wonderful Holy Festivus Day, a tradition started by Jason Burke of Locked On A's last year. He is your host in the top right as you're looking at him. Jason, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very Festivus-y. I'm always excited for these. These are a good time.
It is a great time. And joining us, first time Festivus guest, the Festivus for the rest of us, King of Arizona, Millard Thomas, host of Locked On Diamondbacks. Millard, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. First time doing the Festivus episode with y'all. Had to be schooled a little bit and explained what Festivus was. Wasn't a big Seinfeld guy growing up. So thank you for that. Give me the knowledge I needed to do this pod with y'all.
Yeah, well, this is... It is wonderful. I have been watching Seinfeld. I wasn't a huge Seinfeld guy. I would watch it sporadically when I came home from school. It would be on, and so I absorbed it, you know, through that. And I of course, watched the Festivus episode a couple times. But I'm not the reigning Seinfeld king on this episode. Jason Burke, for those who are not aware of this holy day, this December 23rd, and what it means in Festivus, can you explain to the laymans what this holy day is celebrating?
I will do my best. If you are familiar with the program Seinfeld, George's dad, George is the short one with the balding hair. His dad was tired of the commercialism of Christmas. And so he wanted to create his own holiday that was for everybody, a Festivus for the rest of us. And so he made this thing. And basically there are feats of strength where you fight somebody at this holiday or wrestle somebody. And then you also air your grievances with the family. And he famously said, I got a lot of problems with you people and you're going to hear about them. And so that is basically those two clips were basically Festivus. And so we just started doing this last year where we make a podcast episode talking about our teams in both good and bad ways. So it's a good time. And also we can dunk on each other's teams because who doesn't love snark?
Absolutely. And instead of a holiday tree, I believe they have a giant metal pole, if I'm remembering that correctly.
That is correct. We do not have a pole because we are not in the same location.
My mic stand kind of counts. It's metal. I don't know. I'm counting it. I made sure to wear a holiday themed sweater, not a Christmas themed sweater, because this is a Festivus for the rest of us. And we're bringing this down into three parts. Basically, we'll have first off, we're going to talk about the commercialism of baseball, the things that are wrong with the commercialism of baseball. Then we're going to talk about our feats of strength, pick our champion from our respective teams. And then we're going to air our grievances because we got a lot of problems with these people and y'all are going to hear about them. So let's start off with the commercialism. What is your biggest problem with the commercialism of baseball? I will throw this to you, Millard Thomas, because I believe you have the best thing to start us off with, and you're just gonna go ahead and shame us right off the top.
I guess I got the best one. I'm not too sure about that, but this is focus on the Arizona Diamondbacks. We're talking about commercialism. My biggest issue with the D-backs in terms of that area is the owner himself, Ken Kendrick, because recently, a couple years ago, anyone who had 1% or less in ownership in the D-backs, he made you either sell your share or he was going to buy you out. And for Ken Kendrick, I would rather him worry about the money going into the team than the money going into his pocket, because the D-backs are always below the league average in terms of salary cap. They need to put more money into the team. There's not enough talent on the roster currently. mostly because he always hamstrungs his GMs and never lets them go out and do what they need to do in free agency, the offseason, blah, blah, blah. So, Ken Kendrick, please put the money back into the front office and stop putting it in your own pocket.
Ooh.
Boom.
That's a
fire.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. Bringing the heat. And you know who's got some problems with commercialism and his baseball team is Jason Burke, host of Locked On A's. Jason, what is your biggest problem with the commercialism in baseball or relative to your own team?
I mean, obviously, I could take the same thing that Miller just said, but I'm going to go a little bit deeper, and I'm coming for the marketing department. I assume it's them. I don't know. I don't know who it is.
The marketing team.
Yeah. You guys have been sitting on cushy jobs for too long, marketing. There's probably like three people in the A's marketing department. But no, for me, and it's not necessarily marketing, it's more so they don't have enough like new gear every year. It's always like the same basic things that you see for every team. They don't have like their own twist on anything. And it's like, hey, you want one of these four shirts for the entire season? Or they don't have enough stuff that I want to buy. And for me, it goes straight into marketing. Because if you don't have the products that have the logo of the team that you are trying to represent, that they're going to buy, then they're not going to buy them. And then people don't wear them. And then they don't wear them like outside. And it's just free marketing. They should really have more stuff. And my wife and I went to the Target in Walnut Creek. They had zero A's things there. They had every other Bay Area sports team, but they didn't have any A stuff. They had like half of it was Sharks stuff. And sure, hockey's in season, but they still had Giants stuff. They still had Niners stuff. No A stuff. And I was like, that's wild because this is their territory. This is where they should be dominating. Nothing. And I assume either all got bought up, highly doubtful, or that they don't have enough stuff. They need more stuff is what I want. I want to buy more A stuff. Let me do that, A's. That's all.
Moneyball.
Moneyball. Let me give you my money for that ball. Is what Moneyball was really about. I feel like you're
it's
not
the new
getting
market inefficiency.
You are leading into the commercialism, and I respect that, but I'm gonna go the opposite direction. My issue with the commercialism in baseball, especially relative to my team, is the attendance. The Rangers were first in attendance. Do you know why?
Oh, yes, I didn't even know that.
Because they were in the American League. I'm pretty sure in all of baseball, too. But it's because they opened their stadium doors to 100% from the very start of the season when COVID numbers were spiking, when the vaccine rollout was slow, when people were hesitant to even get the vaccine, and it wasn't even available at that time in April and May. And they just completely disregarded that and cared only about the money in their pockets, which is what ownership has always done here, and cared about getting other people's money and spending the least amount of their own, indicative by the fact that Arlington taxpayers keep paying for these stupid stadiums. I don't know why they keep doing that. Arlington politicians are throwing them under the bus. These billionaires can pay for their own dang stadiums, but also these billionaires should be at least, I don't know, a little bit caring about people's lives and not helping spread a deadly disease when, you know, still in the very middle of it in these early part of the season, which is when they racked up their glowing lead in attendance, which they will continue to brag about all through next year. We were first in attendance, even though we were a terrible product and everyone hated watching our stupid team and our expensive trash shed of a stadium. Like, ugh, I got some problems with these people.
I like it.
Well, I feel like we nailed that capitalism hating rant part of this.
Well, you guys did.
No, I feel pretty good about you. It was like I don't know, it's a scarcity. I don't know what it was. So it was, you were on the same vein. This is all some great stuff from us, and we're gonna get into these feats of strength. There's gonna be a lot of strength had around here. I don't know if we're gonna actually physically wrestle each other, but we might. But first, we gotta tell you guys about Built Bar. This holiday season, this Festivus season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and even better than a candy bar. You know, Built Bar, it's filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and it's high in protein. So if you do want to wrestle somebody on this Festivus, you need to grab yourself a Built Bar, and it can help you take down your opponent. Guys, which is your favorite Built Bar to cram right before you wrestle your dad on Festivus? Mm.
I think I'm going to have to go with that chocolate chip cookie dough just because I'm a sucker for anything that tastes like cookie dough. And it's just absolutely delicious. So I'm going to have to go with that one.
Honestly, I got some of those Built Bar Puffs and the lemon one was amazing. I liked that one a lot.
That one's really solid. I got to go with the mint chocolate chip. It's solid. It's classic. Like it knows what it's doing. It's there to do it. And it does it every single time. So if you want to check out one of these Built Bars for yourself, you want to, you know, bulk up and, you know, work out and eat some protein bars before you fight your dad on Festivus. Then you can go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Now we are to the feats of strength portion of this special Festivus show. We are here with Locked On A's Jason Burke, Locked On Diamondbacks Miller Thomas, and me, Locked On Rangers Bryce Patrick, talking about feats of strength. Now in this part of the show, we will pick our champion for our feats of strength. They have to be a player on our team, and we will decide amongst ourselves who of these champions would be most likely to win this feats of strength contest. Jason, I'm gonna go ahead and start with you on this one. Who are you picking to be your champion as your feats of strength person?
Well, most people would assume that I'm going to pick reigning feats of strength champion Matt Olson, because he won last year. But as I made fun of you last year during our thing, no, but because I made fun of you, I'm like, are your guys, we had Ryan who was the host of Locked On Rockies at the time, and he picked Nolan Arenado, you picked Joey Gallo, and I was like, your guys are going to be traded, it doesn't matter, my guy wins by default, because he'll still be on the team, and I feel like I should follow those same rules, because I'm pretty sure Matt Olson's getting traded, so I have to pick somebody else.
He's still there today. He's still there.
Yeah, I mean, he's still there now, but is he going to wear the A's uniform at the beginning of the season?
Are we counting him as a champion because he hit the most home runs of all those guys in this past year?
Yes.
I feel like that counts. He had 39.
I mean, yeah, no. Matt Olson won. He's the reigning champion, but I cannot pick him for 2022. So I have to pick somebody new. And for 2022, I am picking Seth Brown, who I figure is going to be on the team. There's like five guys that I think might be on this team right now. So I'm going with somebody that I know will be there, and somebody who hit 20 home runs in 2021. He had the same home run rate. It was very, very close to Matt Olson. So if he gets a little bit more playing time and can figure out some lefties, Seth Brown will beat whoever you guys are throwing at him. Seth Brown, defending champion 2022.
I'm surprised you didn't pick Pete Cosma.
Jason Kendall, I don't know.
I saw that he was there and he like got like he was in the big league. We do this thing like on my episodes of like picking a random Ranger and like looking at their baseball reference page, and I picked Pete Cosma. I'm like, wait, he played in the big leagues this year for the A's?
A team that had
AL West championship hosts, but this is not a Pete Cosma podcast. This is a Feats of Strength podcast. Miller Thomas, who are you picking for your champion of the Feats of Strength?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, Jason. I had to do a quick Google search on Seth Brown. Not too sure I've heard of him before. So went on his baseball reference. Not too bad. Not too bad. We'll see what he does next year. But maybe for you, being in the AL, you might not know who my player is, because I think the obvious answer would be going with Ketel Marte. Obviously, the best player the D-backs have. We've seen 30 home run potential from him before in the past, but I'm actually going to go with a curveball answer here and go with Dalton Varsho, the prized phenom from the D-backs, who struggled mightily in the first half last year, but turned it up in the second half, basically doubled his average, his OPS. He finished with 11 home runs, basically hit 10 of them in the last 2 months of the season. He's like 5'10", 210. He's stocky dude. He plays catcher. He plays in the outfield. He can rob home runs. He basically does it all. He could be a 30-30 guy. That's what he was in the minors as a catcher. So I'm going with Dalton Varsho as the sneaky contender here. We'll see, you know, how he does. He's still pretty young in his career, but I'm going with Varsho as a sneaky contender for next season.
Wow, and he's going to get playing time, so that definitely goes in his favor. I'm intrigued by that. But he still sucks. Bryce,
D team definitely sucks.
with my, you know, there are a few new Ranger bats. There's, you know, of course the big names like Cole Calhoun, like John Gray.
Cole Calhoun, you're gonna do me like that, Bryce.
I had to do you like that. The third, the fourth most important player signed.
He gets 19 games against the Astros now. He's gonna hit like 50 homers.
I hope so.
He actually might be a good candidate for this. Not gonna lie to you.
But you know, I'm not just going to burn you. I'm also going to burn Jason Burke. I'm going to go with Marcus Semien. I mean, he might hit more home runs against the A's than old Seth Brown might hit for the A's this year. The guy had 45 bombs last year, had 33 in 2019 as a member of the Oakland A's, who they let walk out the door with a pitiful contract offer.
Where's Joey Gallo?
Don't ask about Joey Gallo. Dang it, this is a time. Well, I'll have my grievances for you, bub. All right. But 45 freaking bombs, a record for a primary second baseman to hit in a season, and he's going to top that. He's got to hit a bazillion bombs in Arlington. I could have gone with Corey Seager as well. I'd say he has about a 40 home run season. And even if you do still have Matt Olson and he's not a member of the Rangers, which would be just a double middle finger to Jason Burke, if I have two feats of strength champions that are not mine, and then Joey Gallo comes back and wins one, and I shove that in your face for the next Festivus. But you know, I am picking Marcus Semien as my feats of strength champion, and I feel pretty good about that. Especially because both your teams suck.
I have no.
I don't like it. Yeah, no. We have a some beef, you and me.
We got some beef. You know, I bet we do. But you know what else I bet on? I bet online at betonline.ag. BetOnline has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues its march through the College Bowl season and the Pro Football Playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. If you want to bet on Jason and Millard's team sucking really bad, you can bet on that. If you want to bet on the Rangers being better, you could bet on that as well. Pretty good odds for that. If you want to bet on me dunking on these clowns all year long, you can bet on. I don't know if you can bet on that, but like
great odds.
Great odds on that. You know, you can bet on basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. And this game is going to finish, or I guess this podcast is going to finish, with us airing some grievances. You know, I got a lot of problems with you people, and you're going to hear about it.
First off, let's start off with Bryce assuming that his team is better than either of ours at this point. Are they going to win more than like 75 games? Win 75 games? Can the Diamondbacks not win 75 games?
I mean, probably not. The Diamondbacks, I feel pretty good about saying they cannot. I mean, the A's, right, as presently constructed, could. But, I mean, how many of their actually good players are going to be here in, you know, within a week?
Does it matter?
Yes, it does matter.
Oh dang. Okay.
It does matter.
Well, in that case, maybe you're going to beat all of us with 75 wins.
I don't think they're going to win 100 games, but I don't think they're going to lose 100 either. And that might be true of both of your clubs. But in that wake, we all have a lot of grievances to air. Millard, since your team, I feel like you have the most right to air some grievances, and this is your first Festivus episode. I'm going to let you go first. Tell me, what are your baseball grievances that you want to air?
Yeah, I'll start with one and then I'll pass it on to you guys. But this is about this is like a love story, the one who got away, because this past season we saw a man do something that I never thought I would see, because during the 2020 year, every time this man started, I would have major migraines. And I'm talking about Robbie Ray, who decided all of a sudden to leave Arizona and turn into a Cy Young Award winner. We've been waiting for this guy to turn into the weapon we saw this year. Back in 2017, this man was an all-star, had like a sub-3 ERA, and every season in the D-backs uniform, he went backwards, he regressed, and then as soon as we trade him, he wants to turn into one of the best pitchers in the league. Robbie Ray. It's a story of one of who got away. And for the D-backs, I'm very disappointed that they keep letting these players like Robbie Ray and Paul Goldschmidt go to other teams when they should be helping the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oof. That is rough, man. I honestly kind of forgot that he was.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
I did.
Man, that was really rough. We could just air one grievance at a time. Just keep going until we feel like we have gotten all the grievances out of our system. Jason, what is your first grievance that you want to air?
Ooh, okay. Well, I'm going to start with the one that everybody knows about. It's the impending trades, because we're at this time again. Baseball fans, were the A's. Trade everybody that you know about on the A's, and then you learn more about the Seth Browns, or you never hear about people again until the A's are good again and start surprising people again. But I'm assuming that Matt Olson's gone. I'm assuming if Matt Olson goes, Frankie Montas is gone. And if you're trading arguably your best starter and one of your best hitter, why not tear it down some more? So that's my reasoning. And I've done this. I'm protected. I'm ready for it. But at the same time, I'm not happy about it. I would really love for this team to spend like, I don't know, $20 or $30 million more and, try harder. That's all that I ask, really. Because they, in 2020, they had a team that could have actually done something, but they, still spent under $100 million and they didn't. So they could try slightly harder financially and get some of those bigger free agents. And then all of a sudden, hey, maybe they make it to the ALCS one of these years as opposed to never. So that's grievance number one for me.
Jason, you're asking for a lot there. You're either going to get the commercial stuff you could buy in the stores or you can have the players. You can't have both here, Jason.
What?
I still have a Ryan Sweeney jersey hanging in my closet. Oh, I'm okay Sweeney. With crappy baseball players.
Oh my God. Well, I'm starting to think, maybe if they did have all that stuff and that merchandise that they sold in the store, then they'd have the money to go spend on some good players. I don't know. That seems like a stroke too far. But I've got some grievances that you people are going to hear about. And my grievance is, it's pretty obvious. Why did this team trade Joey Gallo, cheap out on his contract extension offer, literally less than 4 months before spending $500 million in a 2-day span? You guys cried poor for 5 years, basically since these owners bought the team. They're like, we're so poor. We're so poor. We can't afford anybody. And then, boom, in a 48-hour period, you prove, you're really not that poor. You could have done this the whole time. Why didn't you? Joey Gallo is your best homegrown star that you've had since Mark Teixeira. Mark freaking Teixeira. And you decided, no, we're going to cheap out and trade you for a middling package of prospects from the dang Yankees. You're going to make me watch him in a Yankees uniform, cheer for him in a Yankees uniform, watch him in a playoff game and cheer for them in the playoff game, and then they lose. To Boston, of all people. You maybe cheer for a Yankees team, and then they lose to Boston, and then people in New York still hate on Joey Gallo. It's unfair, it's cruel, and it's my biggest grievance that I've had with this sport in many, many moons.
I have two takes on this. One, they let everybody in, so everybody got COVID, and now they can spend more money. So that it was the revenue, obviously, from opening all the gates. So that's how. Two, there's a decent chance that Matt Olson goes to the Yankees, and so we can hate watch the Yankees together. And I think that would be a fun stream for us to start up in 2022.
It'd be very toxic, but also very cathartic, I think.
Yeah, just us booing everybody besides Matt Olson and
boo,
Joey Gallo.
Boo! Be nice to our sons. Boo!
Yeah, Bryce, you suck.
Bryce, are you sure you're not going to have a chance to sign maybe Joey Gallo again next offseason? Are you sure the Yankees are going to commit to him long term? Because I don't know. I'm looking at his numbers here. I know we don't care about batting average anymore, but you got it.
You say batting average and Joey Gallo one more time, I'm going to beat some strength your ass.
Should I bring up the Mendoza
batting
guy?
Average and Joseph Gallo?
All right. I'm driving to California right now. put your dukes up, buddy. No.
And on the way there, you can hit up Arizona.
No. And no, you know, on that note, no. the Yankees are already talking about, they're already like shopping Joey Gallo in trades to other AOS teams, which like a double, like how dare you double middle fingers to those stupid Yankees. There is a chance, although I'm not letting myself hope in it, that he could come back to Texas, because he does, he did like all season, he talked about how much he missed the Rangers once he went to New York. So like there is a small possibility, but I'm not allowing myself that hope, because if it doesn't happen, I will be hurt too badly to speak words for the rest of my life.
What, Millard, what else would hurt you so much that you would be unable to speak for the rest of your life? Or what is your other grievance, I guess, is what I was going for there.
Yeah, I think I'll still be able to speak, hopefully. God, do that podcast 5 days a week. But we're in the off season now. 3 days, baby. But
3 days, baby.
Yeah. This one kind of piggybacks off the last one I made with Robbie Ray. And it just, the overall developmental system in the D-backs organization, specifically when you look at their pitchers, because you have a Robbie Ray who seemed to work backwards the last few years. You have a guy like Luke Weaver who was really good that first season. Then all of a sudden now he only wants to throw two pitches. He's been getting worse the last couple of years. We are really excited about the debuts of Corbin Martin and JB Berskakis this year. Those guys didn't pan out. It just seems like every time there's a young, exciting pitcher that the D-backs fans should be excited about, those guys just seem to usually start off hot like a burning fire and then flame out pretty quickly. So really, I just need this D-backs developmental system to pick it up. And they just hired Brent Strom from the Houston Astros, who has been able to really revive so many aging pitchers like a Justin Verlander and a Zach Greinke. So, and even a Dallas Keuchel too. So hopefully he can come over to Arizona and add some extra juice to this franchise in terms of developing these pitchers, because I think that's a big area of weakness right now, because they're not going out and signing players. So they got to work from in-house to get some talent on this team. Wow. I left the crowd silent.
I resonated with that. It was just like, yes.
I actually did not hear about the, I had not heard the Brent Strom news. That's a pretty decent addition, I got to say. After watching the Astros all these years, he does good work. So congrats, I guess.
Yeah, also congrats on anyone taking anything away from the Astros ever.
Yes.
Any good thing that's ever happened to them leaving is something that I throw my full support behind. And I'm sure Jason does too.
Yeah. Oh, wholeheartedly. I was kind of rooting for Joe Espada to get the A's managing job just so we'd have their secrets. I like Mark Kotze. I do. Cheap. I can't say anything mean about Mark Kotze, but I kind of wanted Joe Espada just because he knows the secrets.
Secret sauce, baby.
That he does. what is the secret grievance that you, second grievance that you have to share with us today, Mr. Jason Burke?
Secret grievance number two. Everybody, I mean, maybe you guys don't know, I don't know, but in Oakland, there's a lot of talk about the Howard Terminal Project, which is basically, it includes the A's ballpark project, keeping the A's in Oakland. But you also may be hearing about Las Vegas A's relocation news and whatnot. And what I'd really like is for, I don't know, the local media or just the media to give everybody the full story, because there's been a lot of headway. They just released the environmental impact report. That's very, very good. That is a sign that things are really progressing in Oakland, keeping the A's in Oakland. But at the same time, I feel like the A's ownership and president, not Billy Bean, but, you know, the president, not the president of baseball operations, Dave Cavill. Reverse that. He's the president, not, anyways, doesn't matter. A's fans know what I'm talking about. I feel like they plant stories in Vegas, like with the Vegas media, like, oh yeah, so hey, this cool thing's happening. But also, this other thing in Vegas just happened for the A's, and let's talk about the same day that, you know, we're getting news, good news about Howard Terminal. And I'd really just like for there to be like a week in between, so that we can let the good story breathe for a minute, as opposed to trying to suffocate it every time. Because the last three times that something good has happened in Howard Terminal, there has been Vegas news immediately afterwards, and it's stupid. And also, it's disingenuous, because I said this on my own show. I saw this in my crossover with the Rays guys. There was one report from Vegas like a month ago where the A's put in a bid or an offer on a plot of land that they might want to build on. And that sounds terrible. Oh, no. But they didn't say if it was a competitive offer. They didn't say that it was a good offer. I could have offered $3 and I still made an offer. So you got to kind of read between the lines with how you're consuming your Vegas. And go from there. And also, know when it, why is it being presented the same day as, you know, the EIR being released. It's usually because they're trying to, you know, speed things along or something in that regard. There's an ulterior motive for sure.
Yeah.
That's my grievance.
There definitely is. And I feel for you on that. Thankfully, there's never been any rumors about like any of my professional sports teams leaving, being in a big old market like Dallas Fort Worth. So I don't understand that, but I feel for you because I love the A's. I mean, I hate them, but like, I also love them, and I love them being in Oakland, and it's where they're supposed to be. They are a great team for Oakland, and stupid ownership needs to like shut up, because you don't pay enough. You don't spend enough money to be able to like take this team away. Like, oh, we're going to take our team. Like, oh no. Like, why don't you actually spend some freaking money? Like, act like the billionaires that you are, mm-hmm. not the poor boys that you feign to be. But my second grievance, what I think will be my last grievance and the last grievance is not with the Rangers, because, you know, I can only have so many of those. It feels disingenuous to have you guys on here in the state of the teams like that you cheer for, and to like just, you know, whine and moan after getting the four players that my team just signed. But it's more a complaint for baseball in general and with ownership in general. Literally the most fun week 3 days of an offseason that has been had by all of baseball in the history of baseball. I'd say pretty confidently the most money that was spent, the most rumors. Everyone was like dying looking at their phones. Everyone was consuming hella content. Everyone was just so excited about baseball. Oh my gosh, all these teams that were kind of bad or mediocre added these big contract players. All these teams that thought they were going to get these other players didn't get them and panic and sign all these players just moving left, right, and the other. And it was so exciting. And then boom, lockout. Baseball shoots itself in the foot again. Instead of building on that momentum and saying, oh wow, let's be able to like, you know, market these stars. Like the day after they had this press, the Rangers have this press conference for their four new players. It's like, oh, we can't even show any of their faces on our team's website. Like, you absolutely shoot yourselves in the foot and the face at this point. That's how egregious this is. It's like, you don't understand anything about what's going on. Like, just cave to the players. It's like they're just not moving at all. Just find a common ground. You did not need to have a lockout like to settle this dispute. You really didn't. You're losing yourself money and you're losing fans. It took so long for baseball to recuperate from the last work stoppage that lasted into the season. It took a amazing home run chase and hella steroids that I don't think will be happening to save baseball again if there is a work stoppage and they lose millions of fans like they did last time. Just get your crap sorted out, owners. Pay the players what they're worth. You're making so much money. You don't even know what to do with all this money. Like, there's no way you could possibly spend all of it. Just spend it on baseball being better, and then you will make more money that you don't know what to do with that you can spend back into baseball and make the sport of baseball better. So stop shooting yourselves in the foot, in the face, in your junk. Like, stop shooting yourselves and just make baseball good and let us watch baseball and enjoy it. That is my final grievance of the night, and
preach.
I feel pretty good about it.
Oh, I guess I could talk now. I like it. Yes.
you could always talk, Jason.
Yeah, I'm a no, wholeheartedly. And it's stupid because they didn't need to do a lockout. This is self-imposed. They could have just been like, yeah, we're going to keep negotiating. And then they could have kept that momentum going if they were thinking about it. But you know, we need to really put a deadline on this and crank up pressure in December, the beginning of December, when the deadline's like
baseball at all.
March. There's no reason that they had to do this. Why not just let everybody get where they're getting? And maybe that's probably what they were waiting on is, you know, we want to know if we're going to Florida or Arizona for spring training. We want to know where we need to buy a house for, you know, free agents and stuff. And that's probably part of the negotiation tactic. So, yay, baseball! Love that I love this sport so much.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
We did pick a dumb sport to follow, didn't we?
Yeah, and basically at this point, I'm just like, I hope the lockout ends until like a month before the season starts, just so we get another free agent frenzy right before the season starts. Like, that's literally the only reason, because if the lockout ends like next week, then it's going to be 2-3 months before anybody gets signed again, probably.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think we did our little a crossover a while ago, Jason and I and a couple other people. My prediction was about the middle of January. And I think if it's the middle of January, not like early January, or like if they did it on like Christmas, that I think, I don't know if I'd be happy or like angry
Christmas
about that.
Morning.
It's like, Merry Christmas. Here's your present. Baseball. We got our heads out of our butts and stopped shooting ourselves. Well, I'd be like,
not okay. Figuring this out by Saturday. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I don't think they are. But if they just get it by like the middle of January, I think by the end of January, I think there would be a flurry of signings, because there's still big name guys out there like Clayton Kershaw is still out there and coming to Texas. Freddie Freeman is obviously still out there, and some other names that I'm not
thinking Chris Bryant.
That's the one. The ones that the Rangers aren't linked to and have no prayer of getting. Those are the ones that I'm not thinking. Oh, Seiya Suzuki as well.
Use Merrill Petit. Nobody said him.
I said big names.
He's good. I like him.
Seth Brown.
Yeah.
Gotta go get Seth Brown and rob Jason of his feats of strength. Aww. Oh, goodness.
I'm going to be on the lookout for him now next season.
No, because this is going to be a very heavy Seth Brown podcast from here on out. I'm on board with Seth Brown.
Yes. Locked on Seth Brown.
He's the centerpiece of this team now.
Oh, goodness. Oh, I've been there before, and I will be there for you throughout the rough time. But Festivus is not a rough time, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. Jason, where can the folks find you and all of your work?
I've been doing Locked On A's for a while now, so we got over 400 episodes. Go start at number one and just see the progression of how good it's gotten. Because it was
rough. You got
rough.
Some time to kill.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lockout. What else are you going to do? Spend time with your family? Get at it. Fight your dad. Locked On A's is the podcast. We're on YouTube. We're anywhere you find either of these other two fine gentlemen. I'm also at By Jason B on Twitter. You can follow the show at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, I guess I'll just jump in here. Definitely don't check out the first couple hundred episodes I did. Go check out those last 100. It definitely gets better the more you listen to it. So I'll just leave it at that. At CreatorThomas24 on Twitter. Just search up Locked On Diamondbacks on both Twitter and Instagram. Got to get more active on the gram. Not doing enough on there. And also on YouTube, Locked On Diamondbacks, baby. So check us out on there and on all other platforms like these gentlemen up here.
Yeah, go subscribe to these other two shows on YouTube. We all could use more YouTube subscribers. We got to grow that YouTube community. But for me, you can find me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. Don't follow me on Instagram. I don't post anything there. You can follow the show at Locked On Rangers on Twitter, or subscribe on YouTube, or wherever the heck you get your podcasts. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Best of luck to you in your feats of strength champions in your endeavors next year. And I'm still going to roast the crap out of your teams next year and have an absolute great time doing it. Happy Festivus for the rest of us. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.